Lord, I try so hard to be the best that I can be. It's like every time I take one step, something's there in front of me. Lord, where would I be without your grace and mercy? Lord, I have one question. Lord, why me? You changed my whole life. You made my wrongs right. And for the rest of my life, I will never know why you made something out of nothing. Oh, you made something out of nothing. You changed my whole life. You made my wrongs right. And for the rest of my life, I will never know why you made something out of nothing.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Free to Be a Miracle podcast. I am your miracle host, Felicia the Gem, the God-empowered miracle. This is episode 14 of the Free to Be a Miracle podcast, and the topic that we will be discussing today with my miracle guest, Mr. Marlon Austin, is the miracle of a molded man. And so, as per usual, I will just tell you that God showed me the work of this young man. I didn't have any idea who he was, didn't even know what his face looked like. I just saw a flyer on Facebook, gotta love that Facebook, of his organization. And then I commented on the flyer, never got a response. And then sometime later, I saw something else, and I inboxed him. And he responded, we had a conversation, and the rest led us to this moment right here, and I'm sure will lead us to some other moments if God has his way. And so I'm just going to let him introduce himself and tell him what he wants you to know about him. And so please welcome my miracle guest for today, Mr. Marlon Austin. Welcome, Marlon.
Amen. Thank you so much for the welcome. First of all, I want to definitely thank you for even taking the opportunity to recognize the work that I'm doing, because it seems like you hear so many other things about the young people who's doing wrong that you very seldom hear people highlight the positive things that the young African-American men are doing in the community. So me, I'm 28 years old. I've been married for 6 years. I have two beautiful kids, Taylor and Marlon, ages 2 and 4. And this organization, and like me, I'm a typical young man, grew up in the community, you know, selling drugs and hanging on the corner. But I made a decision that I didn't want to be like the people around me. So I made my grandmother also veered me in the right direction. I was one of those children, you know, who was forced to go to church. And once I got old enough, I said, if I don't never have to go back to church, I ain't never going back. But I found myself getting older, and I left the church for a little while, but I found myself running back. And after running back, I definitely gave my life wholeheartedly to God. And I didn't allow the fact that I lived in an environment I didn't allow the environment that I live in to dictate my future. So I wasn't around people going to college. I wasn't around married couples. I wasn't around a lot of positive influence. So I made that decision to not be like them. So I definitely got to give God all the glory, all the credit. I definitely striving to do great things in the community. And I feel as though since I'm in a position to give back, why not give back? I grew up in a household with a single mother, and my mother pretty much raised me herself, but I knew that I feel like if I had a father in my life, I would have been a lot different. But I thank God for my season, because it taught me to be the man that I am today, so it made me stronger. So that's why, like, in parenting, I'm always there for my kids. I do just as much as my wife, so I'm definitely active in my parenting. So I feel like now there should be programs set in place to be able to allow the community to build. So Men Mold the Men, we're definitely a nonprofit organization. We are a faith-based adult men's organization geared to empower, enlighten, and encourage men. Because, you know, Sister Felicia, you hear so much about the women's organizations and all the things that the women are doing and, you know, building up the self-esteem of the women. You very seldom hear anything about the man. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to allow God to give me a vision to say, what can I do to build up the community? Because the first vision was not a men molding men. Because most of the time you hear this saying, you know, it's hard to bend an old tree, but I feel as though, you know, God can do anything but fail. And I wanted to be working with the youth.
But I found myself, you know, praying about it. And then I honestly thought that, you know, every idea that we come up with, it's not always a, it may be a good idea, but it may not be a God idea. So I said, you know what, I think this is a very good idea. But God said, no, I have something else for you to do. I know you want to invest in the young people. That's the future. Correct. But think about this. Be more proactive. So what I do now is, he said, how can you have mentors of young men if you don't have leaders to lead the young men? I said, wow, God, I'm glad you put it to me like that, because that makes a lot of sense. So which means that I will allow the youth ministry to trickle down from the men's ministry, which means that we're going to build, put the men in proper position. Because a lot of times you hear so much about, you know, men going through things, but what is there in place as far as resources to help them? So what we want to do is we try to respond to the social, academic, as well as the spiritual needs of the men. So we try to provide services and resources to help them build a stronger relationship with their family, community, and most importantly, God. So we definitely focus on, you know, it's prime out here. You have economic, you have finances. So what we do is we definitely try to, we definitely pour into the men. So we want to do things like job placement, you know, get them ready for work, and GED, parenting classes, financial management, mental health, you know, any opportunity that we can help build up the men, because I feel like once the men get in position, it will ultimately help the women get in position. So that's just a little brief synopsis about me and the organization that's just coming all up in the next one.
Well, let me just say this, like, you know, as a woman, and as a woman who started a women's organization, I couldn't agree with you more. And I think that it's not to say that women need more or men need more, but I think it has to be done simultaneously. And the kids need it too. And so we all have to figure out where our, even though, you know, we may have abilities, and that's what sometimes, you know, those good ideas come from our abilities, but the God ideas utilize our gifts and utilize what our purpose. And so I too started out working with young people, and I thought, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do. And I'm really, really good with young people. And on some levels, I still work with young people right now. I do an after-school program. I work with a group of young people at an elementary middle school putting together a newsletter. So I still, you know, I'm still able to use those abilities, and they still bless my household with some income. Almost 4 years ago, 4 years ago now, I started a women's organization. And how that came about was from sitting around with a group of women who were all older than myself. I think that the smallest age gap between myself and the women I was with was probably 10 years. These were women that had 10, 15, you know, 30 years on me. And we were sitting around. It was inauguration. It was when we were watching the inauguration. And, you know, as we do, we sit and we talk about the state of our community and the state of the kids and the women doing this and the mothers doing that and the fathers aren't there. And we had this whole conversation. And when the conversation was done, I sat and I looked around at my sisters and I said, okay, so now that we've talked about it, what are we going to do about it? And you can hear crickets chirping in the room.
I agree. And I feel like a lot.
Go ahead.
I feel like a lot of times people always talk about what's going on, but never do their part to fix the problem.
Right, which makes you a part of the problem.
I agree.
And so you heard crickets chirping in the room, and nobody said a word. And so at that time where I was, I said, as women, you know, the man is the head of the household, but we set the tone. And sometimes it's the tone of the household that makes it so the man is not able to be there and hold his position. You know, I tell women all the time, he cannot walk in his shoes if you're standing in them. And so through that, I started this women's organization called GEMS, Gaining Empowerment Through Morals and Support. And it was meant to get women back in position, for women to be whole and healthy and not be pouring toxicity into their men and into their children, so that we were sending healthy men and healthy children out into the community and to kind of start to heal that broken circle. And I did that for a while, and I did some really amazing things for what I was working with, because God was right there. When it's his will, it's his bill. And then he allowed that to kind of phase out for a moment. And so I'm like, okay, I don't work with the children. I don't work with the I don't work with the mothers. But I still, you know, all my life, all of my dating life, I always dated, you know, good guys, no matter what they were doing for whatever reason. They, for all intents and purposes in their heart, were good guys. Some of them might have sold drugs. Some of them might have been in and out of jail. Some of them might have, you know, done some things that weren't good, but they were still good guys. And it kind of just came to me that, you know, sometimes the good guys get the short end of the stick. You know, they don't get the, men don't get the, especially men in our community, they don't get the investment. You know, I look at, and when working with kids, I look at these young boys who are labeled bad and, you know, delinquent and all of these things, and nobody looks at what support they're not getting, what they need. They just look at what they're doing. And the same thing happens when that boy who, you know, starts acting out at maybe 11 or 12 and now maybe 7 or 8 turns 18, 19, 20, and sometimes 28. If he hasn't learned certain things, no matter for all his trying, he's not getting recognition. He's not getting support. No one is really investing in him. And so we've come, and that's why when I saw your organization, I was like, finally. And as a woman, you know, some women are like, they don't get it. But I get it. You know, I get that we got to take care of our whole household. Everybody in the circle needs care. And I believe that as women and as a person in our community, we've dropped the ball concerning our men for a long, long time. And so I was so excited when I saw Men Molding Men and talk to you, because finally somebody's picking the ball up.
And I definitely agree with you, because I feel like, you know, in our community, if you don't invest in our future, which is the younger people, we don't have anything to look forward to, because something's going to get in them. And as far as the man piece, I think it's very needed, because I feel like women had to step up because the men dropped the ball. And I feel like even if the men trying to get themselves together, you know, you go through so many things out in the world, then when you come home, you don't want to be kicked while you're down. Especially African-American men. I'm already going through stuff. I'm having a trouble trying to find a job. I don't want to stand on the streets anymore, but I'm, you know, I'm going through some things. So it shouldn't be, you know, a woman should never kick a man while he's down. You should be, your job is to help a man to build himself up. And a woman and men should do the same thing for a woman. I don't feel as though it should be one way. I think it should be both ways. So instead of always pointing out the negative, you know, encourage your man and say, you know what, it's going to get better. And most women, if you're holding a brother down, that's why they feel insecure, because the first time of any little argument, you say, well, I'm paying all the bills. You're the man,
right.
You're supposed to be head of household. But thank God that you have an income that we're not starving. But so my thing as a man, you shouldn't, even if that's the case, you shouldn't be home sitting down watching TV. And, you know, she paying for daycare. Least you can do is keep your kids. That's a little bit more extra money in the house. And not only do that, but when you come home, like, it's been a time in my life where I wasn't working. But my wife, she never ever threw it in my face that she was working. But trust and believe, when she came home, everything was taken care of. All she had to do was eat and take a bath to go to sleep. Cook, clothes, kids, dinner, homework, that's done. So my thing is, I shouldn't feel as though you should be coming home talking about, I mean, yesterday talking about, what's for dinner? Brother, I mean, I done worked all day. You tell me, where my plate? You know, plate in the microwave, you know, I feel like that's the, you know, it's, that's where it should even out. And like, I love my wife and I thank God for her, because without her, I would not be half the man I am. And I feel as though in life, you will never actually be able to experience the full magnitude of God's favor without a wife.
Say that again. Please say that again. And I know you've listened to some of my podcasts, but if I could tell you to go listen to one in particular, go listen to The Miracle of Love.
And
so say that again, and then I'll tell you why.
You will never be able to experience the fullness of God's favor without a woman. Why do you know? Scripture says, he who has a wife finds favor from God. Not saying you won't experience God's favor, but it's something about a woman. My wife, she keeps me covered. I promise you. I'm not a fool. I know where my blessings come from. My wife, she keeps me grounded. She keeps me level-headed. And you can't – and God gave her to me for a reason. I have two beautiful kids, and she's one person. And I'm a stubborn guy. She's one person. When she speaks, I listen. And even if you understand biblically, when the guy came to the Pilate, he said, you know, his wife told him, don't mess with that man. He didn't listen. He had consequences for that. So I definitely listened to my wife. And I've learned, now I know, you know, a man needs a woman and a woman needs a man, because God, you can't make a baby without me and I can't make a baby without you. So I'm not a male chauvinist saying that the man should always be this, you know, put on a pedestal. But if a man is submitting to God, that woman should submit to that man. If that man is not submitting to God, don't you submit to that man.
Right. And you need to know who he's submitting to. You also need to know that in your position as a woman, submission does not mean that everything he says you just do and you kowtow and that means that you're weak and under his thumb. That means
Amen.
That as a woman, you fulfill your place as that man's rib and you do what needs to be done for that man to continuously grow and stay healthy and whole and in God's will. And that's our position as wives. In the Miracle of Love, one of the things that came out of that podcast was that love, the godly way, love that God has put together, is a building of a dynasty. And
wow.
When you think about what a dynasty is, you cannot mix dynasties. So sometimes God will take away the things that we had before we got into that covenant, and in order for us to build that dynasty as one. And so for you to say that, and I tell my husband all the time, there are certain things that I cannot, and I am a very purpose-filled woman. I can say that because I know who God made me. But there are certain things that I could not do before I met my husband. There are certain things that I will not do until we are in a certain place together, because that
wow.
is how God puts together that dynasty. The marriage is the only covenant that I know of that's between two individuals and God. Now, God makes covenants with individuals. He's made covenants with people as a whole. But marriage
sure.
is that three-strand cord between God, that man, and that woman.
And that's so powerful and amazing, because God designed, he created family. And, you know, definitely understand why God created family, to be fruitful and multiply. And as a, you know, God ordained marriage. God highly exalts marriage, because I honestly see the difference in my children's age. I mean, at maturity, because they see a mother and a father. So it's like they want for nothing. So I see why God designed it like that. You know, I don't have, thank God, all glory to God, I don't have any other children outside of my marriage. So it's a household of peace. And just to see how we all, you know, one and on oneness, that's the actual move of God. And I feel like, you know, in a woman and raising a boy as far as becoming a man, you cannot raise a boy to become a man. My mother raised, she did an awesome job raising me. She did a phenomenal job, but she could never teach me certain things because she wasn't a man. She raised me to be polite, you know, a gentleman, but as a man, she just couldn't teach me everything. But thank God, God taught me everything that I know, and I feel like my reasonable service to the community is to build men, because this Men More Than Men, it's not just the event. It's a movement that will actually strike a chord and start a fire for the men to start coming out and taking their rightful position to be able to go back into the home, because I'm a firm believer that strong men will make strong families. Strong families make strong communities. That's where I feel like the big change is. We can't wait for nobody to come and save us. We have to save ourselves, and I feel like the least I can do is reach back to help somebody come where I came from, because as a man, you are definitely put a lot of responsibility. And I look at it as, if I'm the man, either way the cards fall, I'm going to be responsible, correct? And if I'm responsible, why not at least let me use my best judgment as the man? And a lot of times women think that they're called to raise the children. That's not biblical. We are called to be we're called to raise the children. Think about back in the day, you said, wait till daddy get home. His job is to raise the children. So in my house, I'm very active with my children. I'm the one that disciplines them. I'm the one who has to make the last call. And a wife, all she should do is reinforce what I've already sat down. That's my job. And a lot of times people say, oh, you raise the child. That's not true. The man is supposed to raise the child, because the woman is the what? Help mate. So which means that you should help me raise the children. But a man has to be in position with God to find out the discipline, the principles, and the precepts. Because think about the children of Israel. You know, Moses was going to God on their behalf. So I go to God on my behalf. So if I'm in line with God, my whole family going to be blessed. Everything that we talk
about. And whoever you're in line with, if you're not in line with God, whoever you're in line with, that's who your family is going to in line with. So if you open yourself up to danger, or you make decisions that are not based on the greater good, that is what the
Amen.
Consequences are going to be for your family. It's so funny because so much confirmation is coming as you're speaking. I also designed t-shirts. I said that was my first business. I started in 2008. And one of the first t-shirts that I ever designed was a t-shirt that says on the front, and it has a man, like it has a silhouette of a brown man holding a brown baby, and it says strong fathers build legacies.
Okay.
And so when
wow.
you said that, it brought me, and that, I'm talking, you know, you're talking 6 years ago I designed that t-shirt. So when you said that, it brought that back, and I know that that's more than a t-shirt. I know that
wow.
that needs to be something that's brought out, and we need to understand the dynasty. And we need to understand the building of legacy, because we tend to live for today and live for ourselves. And our family units will die out. Our communities are already half dead. Because that's our mindset. I'm just doing me. I'm living for myself.
Yeah, I agree. But only thing, it's not about self. And that's why I think the community is so why we have a plague of selfishness, because everybody thinks it's about me, me, and my. But my thing is, we have to get back to the foundation that, you know, it's a unity. God is a body, which means that it's not just, you know, we can't separate your hand and say, put a finger over here, put a finger over there. It all has to be one, and that's when you really see God, because people thinking God's going to open up a blowhole in the sky. No, God works through people, and which means that when you get the people on one accord, things happen. Why? Because that's when you invoke the presence of the Holy Spirit. He does not, I speak what your page just said, he is not the author of confusion. He's not the author of division. He's not the author of doubt, diversion, defeat, delay, denial. That's not his stuff. He is unity. Love is unity. He is about agape love, which means that it's unconditional. For God so loved the world that he gave. And a lot of times people are so busy trying to get that they're not willing to give. So which means that, you know, a man will never be able to grow if nobody invests in him. One, you have to believe in him. And also a man has to believe in himself. Because the thing we want to deal with, we want to deal with depression. We want to deal with people, men that feel like, you know, suicidal, that feel like they don't know what, you know, how to be a man. And you can't teach me how to be a man if you're not a man. Or you not walking in a man where, you know, I can learn from you doesn't mean it has to be positive. It could be something negative. But if you're able to get me around some examples of somebody who's not just telling me what it takes to be a man, but actually showing me and helping me, I feel like we'll be able to raise up some strong leaders in the future. We'll be able to raise up some politicians, raise up some senators, raise up some people who's really going to be able to take our community back. Because if we don't help us, who's going to help us?
I know there's you've been doing the what makes a molded man. And one of the things I saw one of the things, which is one of my favorite words, and the first principle is accountability. Please.
Amen.
Talk about accountability. I think it's just something that's so lost and something we don't pay enough attention to. And I think one of the things that has killed accountability is that whole don't judge me. And
wow.
I can hold you accountable, and I can hold you accountable, and I can give you information about right and wrong and good and bad without judging you. But please just talk about accountability.
Wow, that's an awesome thing, because accountability is definitely needed. And let's talk about think about a duck. If you're walking like a duck, you look like a duck, you're eating duck food, you're, you know, around other ducks, I'm not wrong for calling it a duck.
Right.
So I feel like it's like, and I'm also, I don't even know if I mentioned it, because I'm not one who goes talking around. I'm a preacher as well. I'm a minister of the gospel. I've been preaching for 4 years, and I'm also the president of the men's ministry. So it's not, you have to call sin, sin. And I feel as though we've gotten so comfortable with sin that we don't call it a sin anymore. We also say it's free will. I beg to differ. Mm. Just like a lot of times they say, you know, adultery is a sin, clearly. Lying, stealing, backbiting, whoremonger, idolatry. Those are sins. And, you can't ever feel like you're going to be free from a sin if you never call it a sin. So I feel like we need to be accountable for what a sin is. So you can't say murdering, stealing, lying, cheating is a sin. But when it comes to homosexuality, everybody's saying, no, you're judging me. No, I'm not judging you. I'm judging the sin. So I love everybody, but you have to stand on God's word and not pick and choose and be accountable for your actions, because every action, there's a reaction. You obey, you get blessed. You disobey, you get cursed. You have trouble. So you have to really be accountable for your choices. That's the main thing. You can't keep blaming everybody else for what you choose to do. God gives us two choices, do the right thing or do the wrong thing. So once you're only accountable for what you know. So once you know better, you have to do better. And when you start to do better, people don't just allow, you just not, laying around, not taking care of your kids. You're at the club every week popping bottles, and you got somebody that hang with you who never says, man, when the last time you seen your child?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, oh,
right.
When the last time you called your son? Did you buy it? We at the mall, we spending $500-$600 on belts. And did you buy your son anything for school? Do we have pencil, notebook? Have you given anything to your son? I feel like when people start to keep each other accountable, I'm not going to be subject to fall, because the Bible teaches when it's better for two people than one, which means that I can be your accountability partner. So when I see you going down the wrong track and you see me as a young minister trying to do the right thing for the Lord and I'm going through something, you're not going to ask me to go get a bag or a drink or we go down to the strip club. You're going to hold me accountable and say, you know what, man, let's go ahead and let's pray. Let's go out and grab a bite to eat. Let's do something positive and constructive, so that way you won't tear your family down, but I'm here to help you build your family up. And I feel like a lot of times if I'm doing wrong, you do wrong, I don't say nothing, you don't say nothing. But as the children of God and the being the light in the world, everybody, most people will love the darkness if you're of the dark. And I feel like that's
yes.
where the accountability lacks in the darkness. Because, okay, if I'm doing a sin just as big as your sin, you know, if I can address your sin without condemning you for sinning. But I have to do it in love because God, you got to understand the biblical aspect. Love covers a multitude of sins. So if I come to you in a way that, you know, I'm not attacking you and defaming your character, but I'm calling a sin what is a sin, if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you. So that's why I feel like the accountability has been lacked. And I'm not going to say anything to you as long as you don't say anything to me. And that's not judging for me calling the sin.
To me, what you just described, and I've had this conversation with my husband on several occasions, as we get older, as we mature, we have to understand the difference between one thing and another. And, you know, in our community, we have terms that we use a lot of times, but we kind of cross terms and we don't understand it as a difference. What you described
okay.
to me, that's the difference between a homeboy and a friend.
Wow.
And the Bible talks about what it takes to be a friend. You have to consider yourself friendly. And, you know, as you get older, if you're 20, 30, 40 years old and you still got homeboys, you might just want to take a look at what that means to you and what the criteria is for your homeboys, what you need, because what you need in your life is probably a friend.
Wow.
Homeboys have their purposes, but what you really need, you know, in your time of need is a friend. And I really just want to encourage any man that's listening to this to take some time, and I always like to give an actionable thing for people to do. Take some time and really look at who is surrounding you, who is around you, because a lot of times that person that says, I'll buy you a bottle, is what that person considers support. So take a look
sure.
at what you consider to, who is supporting you and what does that support entail? Because sometimes support does not entail accountability. And sometimes support is a lot like being enabled to keep doing what you're doing that you don't need to do.
Wow. And I think that would be like a crutch. So instead of me helping you, you know, get off the cash and be able to walk, I'm going to be able to hold you up and not hold you accountable because you can walk. And I feel like men, when we start to hold each other accountable, that's why I want to create an atmosphere where we can hold each other accountable without feeling attacked. Because if you are my friend and you're somebody that loves me and I'm making a dumb decision, your job is to come and say it, not about, you know, not thinking, oh, I wonder how he's going to feel about this. But I need you to say, you know what, I love you enough, and I'm going to approach you and say, man, you're going down the wrong path. Get yourself together. This is not where we're supposed to be going. Because your job is to help me become a better me, and my job should become help you be a better you. Because if that's you don't need people like that around you, because bad company will corrupt good character. And that's biblical.
Mm.
You got to be mindful
yes.
of people around you. If we're not like-minded, we're all small-minded, we're never going to think big. That's why I feel like you should hang around the people that you want to become like. I don't hang around a lot of people. I deal with people here and there, but I love, you know, people that's striving to do the right thing. I will, you know, support you, encourage you, but I can't hang around. You know, I just can't go down the old way and just chill down there all day no more. I just can't. Don't get me wrong. I will go through. I love everybody, but I have to surround myself with like-minded people so that way we all can go in. Like, that's why a lot of times people don't hold each other accountable because they're so in their comfort zone. It's not about being comfortable. I'm committed to the call of my life, which is to, you know, to move forward in God and build up disciples. I feel like if I have something in me, if I create somebody else that understands, you know, God can be, you know, God is no respecter of person. You know, if he did it for me, he'd do it for you. And then you have another person who's able to go help another person. Because look at it now. What is most African American people you see on the news, you know, dead, in jail? That's not the way it's supposed to be. And you should never be comfortable with seeing this amount of murders in Baltimore City, and it's only the month of February, and think it's okay and not want to be pumped. There's something inside of your heart to say, what can I do about this? Can I volunteer anyway? Can I make an impact? So that's why I feel like Nemo the Men would be more of a don't wait until the problem. You know, it's somewhere, but even where we want to start being more proactive on certain things and teaching people things, because the Bible talks about my people shall perish due to a lack of knowledge. So if I don't know any better, I'm not going to do any better. So if I'm able to see something different, let me pick and choose if I want to eat this apple or I don't. Do I want to go this way or do I want to go the way that I'm going? Show them another opportunity instead of saying, okay, I see these young boys on the corner with their pants down. Oh, they ain't never going to be nothing. They are never going to go anywhere in life. Have you asked, you know, have you even asked them anything? Some of them probably even in school. A lot of young people I even see, you know, that they may, you know, stand in the corner, they even still go to school, which means they want to have something to do, but they're closing down the wrecks. I don't see many programs for them, but they're able to hire more police and build more jails. Something wrong with that picture. What about you? What do you think?
I mean, I don't know how true this statistic was, or and it's probably, if it was true back when I heard it maybe 7 or 8 years ago, but I always share it with young boys, especially. At one point I heard that they look at your third grade test scores, standardized test scores, and they look at the third grade standardized test scores specifically of young boys of color, and they use those test scores to project how many jail cells they'll need to build over that 10-year course by the time that child is 18. And true or not, it's profound, and I think because it could be true, we need to look at it. Again, you know, not to enable anybody or not to make an excuse, but you have to look at what somebody's working with and where they come from. And honestly and truthfully, when people know better, they do better. And something I tell kids that I work with all the time, and even adults that I work with now, I say, I don't assume that you know anything that I didn't teach you. I don't care how old you are. I don't care where you came from. I don't care who your parents are. I don't care what letters you have behind your name. I cannot assume that because you've lived 30 years on this earth that you know this or that you know that, because we all travel different paths. And knowledge, people always say knowledge is power. Sometimes people pick up things that they put back down before they can even learn to use it. And so applied knowledge is power.
Wow.
I can know everything in the world, but if I do not use it, I am just as a fool.
Wow. I agree wholeheartedly with you, because I feel like even, you know, biblically, a lot of times, you know, people, you know, ministers and preachers, they know the word inside and out, and they study the word. And it's funny, because I'm actually doing a series on the word, power of the word. Because it's one thing to know the word, but it's another thing to show the word. Knowing the word is just as bad as you not knowing the word and not applying the word, because it's about a life application, which means that I can have all the keys to success, but if I never actually get up and go do it, I'm nothing but tingling breath. I'm just sound. I'm just a lot of bark with no bite. But when you actually start to know the word and know the thing that you should do in life and actually make some choices to become accountable and make some sacrifices and become committed and devoted to something that you want to do in life, because you're put here to succeed, that's when I feel like men will know that they were born to be changed. You weren't born to be a peasant. You were born to be the head and not the tail, above and not the knee. You were called to be a lender and not a borrower. You are of a royal priesthood. Because they don't understand who they are, they're not able to actually walk into their ultimate destiny, because they're naive and understanding that they don't really know their identity. But once they understand their identity, then actually know the word that's over their life and know the call, then they'll actually be able to walk in that power. But the enemy, he uses a thing to destroy, he comes to distract, come to defeat, steal, kill, destroy. He wants to make you walk in doubt, make you have fear, worry, stress, and then ultimately, we're not able to actually walk in the word, because we can't even see the word, nor even understand it. So I feel like that's where men more than men will be able to not only talk about what we should do, but actually have people that's talking about what they're doing that's actually doing it. So not only are you telling me what to do, but you're showing me what you do. And a lot of times parents need to, you know, think about their parenting, because a lot of times, and I'm even guilty of it as well, it's been things that I've told my children not to do that I've done. And I feel like, you know, if I tell my child I shouldn't put cups on the glass table without a coaster, then I shouldn't do it. Because a child is not going to always do what they hear. They'll be more subject to do what they see. That's the example. So you have to be an example, which means that if I'm telling you, like as a minister, I can't just stand in the pulpit Sunday after Sunday and preach the word, and then when I get out of the pulpit, I'm living a whole different lifestyle. When that's when the word becomes powerful, it becomes the logos word. Some words jump off the page, and I don't just talk about, you know, being not weary and well doing, for I shall reap if I faint not. I'm not being weary. I'm actually living on that word and standing on that word. That's when I feel like the people will start to move forward, because they know which way to go.
If they don't understand it, they can't apply it. If it doesn't, that's like if I ask you, what is the key to success? And you give me a written document that outlines everything I need to know to be successful, and it's written in Portuguese, and I don't speak Portuguese, I am not going to know anything that I didn't know before you gave me that document. And we have to be careful that we don't water down the word. We have to be careful that we don't extract what we want out of the word. We have to be careful that we don't preach our own convictions. However, we also have a responsibility to make sure that the people understand the word from where they are, from where they are. If I'm speaking in a way that's over your head, you know, Jesus spoke in parables, but they understood it.
And then they explained them. I agree. So a lot of times the people, you know, they feel like, I got mine, you have yours to get. And that's not the right mentality. And my mentality is more so, I want, if I have it, I want you to get it. It's not, it's enough out here for everybody to get, but it's the lack of unity in our community. You can't even spell the word community without the word unity. So how do you feel as though you're going to live next door to me and not make it? And I guess you feel like, you know, my child goes to school, my child gets good grades, but the child next door, Johnny, he's failing in school, he's not doing well. You think that won't affect your child. I beg to differ, because one day she may meet Johnny on the playground, and that Johnny may be the one to influence her. But you have to be mindful and, you know, take your part of the responsibility. Say, you know, it takes a village to build, make your child, but it also starts at home. You can't depend on, you know, Baltimore City Public Schools to raise your child. You have to not allow work to consume you so much that you fail to be a parent. Parenting is very important. You know, there's power in parenting, because a child should be sanctified by their parents. And that's why, you know, we went around the community. Tony Evans talked about it. He said it's a lot of times we have so many kids who's so, you know, evil and going the wrong way because the parents wasn't sanctified. So they wasn't able to sanctify that kid, because it all starts at home. What a child learns at home should overflow when they get to school. You can't allow school to raise your children and wonder why they know certain songs and expose certain things, because you're so busy working and trying to make money that you fail to miss this child is already 16 years old and you haven't really even, you don't even talk to the child.
And let me say this, I've worked also in my career, I've worked residential treatment where I've had access to people's children for 6 months, 9 months, 12 months, you know, 18 months, sometimes longer than that. And when you have a child that comes out of an environment and you take them out of that environment and you take them and you clean them up for, you know, it figuratively, and you teach them the things that they haven't learned and you adjust their mindset from what it is they've been taught, and you see this change. But once you put that child back in that environment, It's a very small number of children who can go back into that environment and not go back to the ways of that environment. And I always use the analogy. It's like if a house is filthy and I take you out of that house and I clean you up, I wash your clothes, I wash your hair, I put smell good on you, I do everything, you know, do your hair, do everything, and put you in an all-white outfit, and I send you back into that filthy house, eventually you're no longer going to be clean and that outfit is no longer going to be white. And so what that was the flaw in that system, where we didn't work enough with the family, with the community that we were sending those kids back into. And so that's so important, because even if the school is doing, if your child's going to the best school around and you're not reinforcing, you're not spearheading the things that the school is doing, you're not working cooperatively with that school, then it's that you run the risk of not seeing the best results.
Wow. I totally agree with you.
Wow. Well, we have just been, wow, I can't even describe what has happened during this time, but all I will say is I told you so.
Wow.
Thank you so much for joining me. Just this is the time where you can just tell everybody how to find you, how to find Men Molding Men, what you want, how they can, you know, participate, you know, spread the word, whatever. So, you know, Facebook, YouTube videos, website, give me the information.
Definitely. We are Men Mold the Men. The website is www.menmoldingmen.org. You can find us on Facebook, Men Mold the Men. Also, definitely have some great things coming up. We have a next session. It will be session two, which will be on the 22nd, 1500 Mills Lane, definitely right there under the 83 bridge. So you can definitely contact me, 443-925-7579, Marlon Austin. It's definitely the young man that you want to call if you want to make an impact in the community, because we're definitely striving to make Baltimore a better place to live in. Amen?
Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining me. As usual, you guys can find me on my website, FeliciaTheGem.com. You can find me on Facebook, The Gem, God Empowered Miracle, on Instagram, and Twitter and YouTube, Felicia the Gem. I actually just put out my first YouTube video in a long time, so please make sure you check that out, subscribe. Thank you all for listening. I know that if you're listening, you got something out of this. Please comment, share, like, subscribe, follow the podcast, spread the word. I want to thank my miracle guest, Mr. Marlon Austin. And as usual, I want all of you to remember that you are a miracle, and I am too. Thank you, and have a great one.